This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning. Welcome to For Your Benefit. This is Tammy Flanagan sitting in the host seat this morning for Bob Lyons, who couldn't be here today. But it is a beautiful Monday morning here in Washington, except for all the traffic I hit this morning, but I still managed to get here on time. Well, welcome to open season. Today is November 8th, Monday morning, 10 o'clock. So if you're listening live, you can call in this morning, and we're going to be talking about health insurance and specifically GEHA today. So our call-in number is 202-465-3080. That's 202-465-3080. You can also email us at for your benefit. It's just the words together, for your benefit, at nitpinc.com. That's nitpinc.com, nitpinc.com. Now, if you email us, we won't get the email until after the show, but we will respond to you. So this morning, I'm real excited that we have for our premier open season show, Jane Overton, who's been a guest of ours probably for, the last 3 or 4 years?
Yes, at least.
At least. Yeah, and she's here with GEHA. She's the Vice President of Claims, and she's here to tell us all about what's new for 2011 and to give us some overview of the program that she helps with. And we are so excited to have her here, and please feel free to call up and ask her some questions. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Tammy. Thanks for the invitation to be here.
Sure. We're glad you're here from Chicago, right?
Kansas City.
Kansas. I knew it was somewhere in the Midwest. I knew you traveled a long distance to get here. So at least we had nice weather for you.
It's wonderful.
It's supposed to be like this all week. But anyway, I was looking at the GEHA plan for next year, which is one of the, do we call it a PPO or a fee-for-service?
Fee-for-service with a PPO option.
There we go. And it also has a few other options as well.
It does. We offer three medical plans, a high option, which is the program that's been in the FEHB program since the very beginning, our standard option, which is the fastest growing plan and has one of the lowest premiums in the FEHB program, but still comprehensive coverage. And then 3 years ago, we introduced a high deductible health plan. We have about 4,000 members in that plan, and it's filling a need for those members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, later on, we'll talk about that because that's something a lot of employees that I meet don't really understand. So I think we can give them a little better understanding of it later on.
Good.
Well, first of all, what about premiums next year? That's the first thing everybody looks at. Is my cost going to go up? Is it going to be more expensive? And I know a lot of the plans did go up, not a whole lot, but a little bit.
Yes, we have on our high deductible health plan, it's the third year in a row that we'll have no premium increase.
That's good.
On our standard option, again, even though it's still a very low premium, the premium is going up 8% for 2011. But we're really pleased that our high option, which again is the oldest plan we've offered, the premium increase is only 2% for self-only members and 3% for self and family. So we were pleased we could control that cost.
That's great. Yeah, I know the high option plans, just like any of the fee-for-service high option plans, are much more expensive than your standard option because they are more comprehensive. And I think maybe you can tell me if this is true. Is it also because you have a lot of older retirees in those plans?
Most of our retirees are in the high option plan. But again, we coordinate with benefits with Medicare for those members. So they actually receive most of their health care costs between Medicare and GEHA with no out-of-pocket expense. If you do have Medicare, you also have a reduced coinsurance on your prescription drug expenses.
Well, that's good, too. And that's another thing we're going to get to later on in the show. But I think we want to start off with, in every health plan brochure, there's a page somewhere near the front of your brochure that's going to tell you what's new, how we change for 2011. So I was going to ask Jane to overview some of the things that are going to be changing, whether it's in the case of deductibles and copayments or new features or things that were covered this year that weren't before. So what are some of those things that we're going to see different for next year?
Well, we have several positive changes on all three plans for 2011. Along with all other FEHB plans, of course, we're going to cover dependents to age 26. on all three plans. We're also expanding our benefit for preventative care on high and standard. GHA has always put a great emphasis on preventative care. Even before there were any requirements from OPM to cover preventative care like mammograms, pap smears, colonoscopies, GEHA always had a benefit, but the last few years we've expanded that each year to cover those expenses at no cost to members if they use a PPO provider. So the change for 2011 on high and standard is that we will cover preventative office visits from a PPO provider at no cost to the member.
So not even the copayment that you
Correct.
Normally pay.
That
so when
be
you go
waived.
To the doctor, you shouldn't have to write that check for $20 or $30.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Good.
We are also going to cover all routine adult vaccines in and out of network at 100%. These are vaccines like your flu shot, the H1N1 vaccine, pneumonia vaccine, shingles vaccines for patients over 60. So all of those will be paid in and out of network at 100%.
That's wonderful, too, because that will help prevent a lot of need for
exactly.
other expensive
That's
care.
That's why we've always emphasized preventative. We've also eliminated our lifetime maximum for durable medical equipment on all three medical plans, and we're significantly expanding our benefit for smoking cessation. Members will pay no cost at all for counseling sessions while you attempt to quit smoking.
And is that just for someone who wants to quit, or is it if you already have an underlying illness like emphysema?
No, it's for anyone who wants to quit smoking.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Because I know Medicare expanded that benefit also, but I think you have to have an illness that would justify quitting
yes,
smoking.
Yes, it's not required that you have an illness. We just want you to quit smoking.
Right, before you get the illness.
Exactly.
That's a good idea.
We're also going to cover both prescription and non-prescription drugs to aid in smoking cessation at no cost to members.
So even the over-the-counter
yes,
things
certain
you can
over-the-counters
purchase.
Like the nicotine patches would be covered at 100%.
Do you have to get a doctor's prescription
you
for
that? You do need, even though it doesn't require a prescription, you do need a prescription to
in order for it to be covered.
Exactly.
Okay, well that's all good news. Going back to the dependent child benefit, because I know this is new for a lot of us, and some of us have kids who are either still in school or don't have adequate benefits at their jobs, and so they're very interested to, you know, bring the kids back on the plan. Does it matter that you have a child who was already off on their own?
No.
As long as they're under age 26, you can still bring them back
on. You can bring them back on. We've tried to make that as easy as possible. Now, we do need to make the distinction. If you have self and family coverage already, all you would have to do is go to the GEHA website and complete a form. We can send you an application if you don't have access to the internet, or you can actually just call us and we'll take the information over the phone if you already have family coverage.
So that wouldn't require an open season change through OPM or through your agency?
Exactly, exactly.
You deal directly
if you
with
have
you.
Self-only coverage because the children had already gone off and you need to add them back on, you will have to go through the payroll office process to change your coverage from self-only to self and family.
And someone who's retired who has a child of that age, they can also do that through OPM?
Yes, they can.
That's good. So that'll be good news for a lot of people who are in that
yes,
boat.
Yes, the activity's already very heavy on
I'll
that.
Bet. I'll bet people are already calling about it because, you know, when you have to pay, because if your kids are in school, you still have to pay.
Absolutely.
And I know that can be hundreds of dollars a month on top of what you're paying for health insurance.
In fact, OPM has actually asked just last week that all plans notify members. They were notified ahead of time, of course, of the change in when they received the open season information from GEHA. But OPM has asked us to do another process notifying members whose 22-year-olds might be turning 23 in November and December and asking and explaining to them the options that they have through COBRA and the 31-day extension so that they'll know exactly how for that dependent not to lose coverage.
For that month or two where they might be without a benefit if they don't let it, if they let it lapse.
Correct.
Boy, okay. So those are some good changes. A lot of these, I guess, were through the Health Care Reform Act as well. They're going to be government-wide changes that you'd find in many of the federal health plans?
Many of them are, but some we've taken the extra step to go beyond what was required.
Right. And so the 2011 materials are out. In fact, your members probably already received their brochures.
They're receiving them staggered as we speak. Yes.
And if you didn't get one, they're available on opm.gov. If you go to opm.gov/insure, It'll take you right to the insurance page and click on health insurance and then click on the big map of the U.S. and find where you live.
Or you can go to GEHA.com and we have a whole section just for open season questions.
Yeah, I like the website, yours in particular, because it's easy to find. Like, I was looking for information on coordinating Medicare with GEHA or GEHA.
Yes.
We have to be careful how we say GEHA because it sounds like other words. So I was there and it has a whole section on how GEHA works with Medicare.
Correct.
When Medicare is primary coverage.
Correct.
And I know a lot of people have questions about that.
They
so
do.
That would be a good place to start.
It is. We also have a brochure that we can send you that explains in printed form how we coordinate with Medicare and what the options are for you.
Yeah, and we'll go into a little bit of that later on as well. But we're still on this list of changes. And we've talked about positive changes with covering vaccines for adults and always have done so for children and preventative care, no out-of-pocket expenses, and covering our adult children. So there's got to be a couple of negative changes. Are there increases to deductibles or copayments or
We did not increase any deductible or coinsurance for 2011.
Wow, that's applause for that one.
Yay. Absolutely. We were pleased we were able to do that. We've clarified some things about some things we want our members to pre-certify. It's not a benefit change. It's just a helping us. We have an extensive care management program, and we have staffs of nurses that can help members that have chronic diseases. So we're asking them to call in early in that disease process.
Is that in addition to inpatient certification?
Yes.
So that could be for getting treatment for maybe mental illness or maybe for...
Mental illness does not require, except if it's psychological testing, but things like dialysis, cancer treatments, we have many, many resources available to our members. So we're asking them to call us and let us know of the chronic condition so that we can help them manage that process and use their benefits to the best advantage.
Because I think what a lot of people I meet don't understand is that health plans, health insurance plans, and yours is no exception, covers some hospice care as well. Because I always think, because people say, oh, I want long-term care insurance to cover hospice. I'm like, well, your health plan will cover a lot of that to begin with.
Yes, and that is a change for 2011, but we think it's, again, a positive change. We used to have separate maximums for inpatient and outpatient hospice expenses.
Mm-hmm.
We realize that in today's environment and individual circumstances warrant going to one or the other or both. So we've combined those benefits and will now pay up to $15,000 for combined inpatient and outpatient hospice cares for patients at end of life.
That need that type of care. That's good to know because that way you know you have some coverage and beyond that you can fall back if you have long-term care coverage as well. What else? Any other changes that we have to be aware of in our plans for next year? Or are we ready to move
on? Well, again, on the HDHB plan, we want to talk about that now, just the change. We were able to increase the contribution that we make to members' health savings account, or if they don't qualify for that, for a health reimbursement account. It's not a big change, but it's now $62.50 per month for self only, $125 a month for self and family, and that is an increase for 2011.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that because that's one area I think a lot of employees might be interested in if they understood what it was. And so what we want to talk about next, you know, we'll get back to the high option and standard option of GEHA because I know that's your bread and butter, most popular plans.
Right.
But I think also, I think it's important to understand where the high deductible health plan option fits in. And yours is one of only three plans in the overall program that really offer this option, which I think is a wonderful tax shelter for a lot of employees who are looking for ways to set aside money for future health care expenses. And unlike the flexible spending account program, you don't have to use it up every year.
Exactly. There's no use it or lose it provision. You can carry that over year after year. And if you're in an HSA, you can take it with you if you leave GEHA or leave the federal government.
And still continue to spend the money for health care at no tax due on the withdrawals.
Exactly.
So by definition, a high deductible health plan is going to have a high deductible.
Yes.
So that's the one thing we have to get over.
Right.
So what is it? What's the high deductible?
It's $1,500 for self, $3,000 for self and family. But there are many things that are not subject to that deductible, and that's all preventative care from PPO providers.
Would that also include the vaccinations we talked about before?
So
that, the colonoscopies, the mammographies, the preventative care
Absolutely.
Is all
Cholesterol
covered.
Checks.
So in other words, if you're in pretty good health and just maintaining your health, then you shouldn't have to meet your deductible.
Exactly.
Very
exactly.
good. Now, the other thing you mentioned before is that GEHA is going to make a contribution to your health reimbursement arrangement or your healthcare savings account, whichever you're qualified for.
Correct.
And you had mentioned it's $6,250.
It's $6,250 self-only coverage, $125 self and family. That is contributed monthly for HSAs. And then you can use that expenses. You don't have to use it. It can sit there and draw interest until you need it for some major expense in the future. But if you do have some expenses that aren't preventative in nature, you have a doctor's office visit or something like that, that you need to reimburse yourself mm-hmm. from your HSA.
In a way, I look at that is that if you multiply that by 12 months, that's covering, what, about half of your deductible?
It does.
So
it does.
You can take that $1,500 self-only deductible and maybe drop it down to less than
$800.
$750.
For self-only, right.
And the premiums for a high deductible plan are generally less expensive than for traditional health insurance. So I think there you'll be surprised as well to see that the premiums are going to be pretty reasonable.
Yes, it's very inexpensive. It's $43.94 biweekly for self-only coverage, $100.36 for self and family biweekly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit higher than our
standard
option, but again, with the contribution, it offsets.
Now, if you don't have other health insurance, like if you don't have Medicare, if you don't have TRICARE, if you don't have your spouse's private sector plan, if all you have is GEHA and this high deductible version of it, then you can also have a healthcare savings account, which lets you, in addition to what your company puts in, you can make contributions.
Yes, that's correct.
And I believe those contribution limits are going to stay the same for 2011.
That's my understanding.
$3,050
yes.
for self only, mm-hmm. and I think it's $6,100 or $6,150 for family. And that's all money that you don't have to pay tax on.
That's correct.
So if you deduct the GEHA contribution from that, that's still several thousand dollars you can set aside tax free. And I look at that as kind of a future savings account to cover medical expenses, even
exactly.
if you don't use it this year.
Yes, or if you do have a major expense this year,
there.
It helps.
Now, does GEHA make those contributions to a bank, or where does the money go?
We do. We make it to the Health Savings Bank in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
You can transfer that if you choose to put it in your own account. I think there's a fee associated with transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the HSA Bank is one of the leaders in that niche market and have been very successful for our members.
So it's a traditional bank-type investment where it's going to earn whatever the
yes.
going rate of interest is.
Yes.
I know some of these you can transfer into an account where you could invest in mutual funds or other more risky investments if you're willing to take that risk. And so that's what you're saying. You can transfer it from the HSA Bank to your
right.
own, but you have to set that up yourself and
yes,
probably
you do.
Pay a fee.
Yes.
Okay. So you're making contributions you don't pay tax on. You are having full coverage on preventative care, mm-hmm. very reasonable premiums for this type of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot to like about these. I think the one fear I think people have with a high deductible health plan is that if you have something happening early in the year and you haven't funded your HSA or GEHA hasn't put enough money into that HRA
that's
account,
correct.
You're going to have to come up with it out of pocket.
Yes, that's correct. And I think that's why the growth in those plans has been less than we expected.
A little slower.
Yes, because people got used to first dollar coverage, only paying a copay, having a lower deductible. But we have seen expansion of the product every year.
Mm-hmm. And it's something new, and we're not used to
right.
new, and we like what
right.
we've always had.
Correct, yes.
So, and do you get a debit card so that when you do have to pay an out-of-pocket expense, you don't have to write a check and get reimbursed?
Yes,
you can just pay.
Get a debit card for your health savings account.
So it comes right out of that account without the extra process of getting reimbursed,
correct.
Which I think is a plus, too. I like
it is.
People like that option. So I think there's a lot to like. Now, when you leave the government or when you retire or even resign or go someplace else to work, that HSA account, you can still
sure.
spend it.
You take it
you
with
you. Don't
you.
Necessarily have to still be in the
no.
same health plan or
no.
you could be and stay in that plan
no.
even as a retiree.
Correct.
in a young retiree who doesn't have Medicare yet, they can still contribute. Is that right?
Yes, they
can. To an HSA, as long as they don't have other health insurance. And we always have to make that exception.
Correct.
Because that's one of the rules. And that's not GEHA's rules. That's tax code.
Absolutely.
That's how these plans can exist under the current tax code.
Correct.
So, yeah, I'd say if you're looking for an alternative to flexible spending account with the use it or lose it provisions, this would be something you might want to look into this open season.
We think so.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll see if there's more interest. I think it has been increasing slowly but surely, but I know I like to talk about it at every seminar because I think there's a certain group of employees who might want to do that if they knew what it was.
Yes, I think a lot of people don't understand it completely. And again, it is based on your individual needs, whether or not this is the right product for you.
Right. And it's not necessarily going to be specifically for young families or for single folks or older people. It just depends on your own health care needs and how much you're willing to monitor your expenses, because
exactly.
This is really good for someone who wants to
exactly
really.
But if you compare the out-of-pocket expenses overall, it doesn't really, if you have really major expenses, it's not going to be much more than the other options.
Even if you had a bad year.
Because that deductible goes to your catastrophic maximum, which is $10,000 for family, $5,000 for single coverage.
I think that's what a lot of people also don't realize, because you do see that higher catastrophic limit with the high deductible plans, mm-hmm. but you have more money that counts towards meeting that limit than you would on the traditional health plan.
Exactly.
So it's not as bad as it looks. So don't don't always base your decision on that higher catastrophic limit or on the high deductible. There's other things to consider.
Right. And the other thing on GEHA's high deductible health plan, after you meet your deductible on expenses that apply to the deductible, we pay 95% for PPO for network providers. And that's the highest coinsurance of any of our plans.
So as long as you use GEHA network providers,
after you meet the deductible, we're going to pay 95% of your expenses.
Holy smokes. That's
significant.
It's only 5% out of pocket.
Right, right. If you do have to use out of network providers, and that should be very seldom because our network is so extensive, but we'll still pay 75% of out of network expenses, and that 25% goes to the catastrophic maximum, of course, calendar year.
Let me remind, if we have our live listeners this morning on Monday, if they want to call in and talk to Jane about a high deductible health plan or anything related to this open season and your health insurance questions, you can call in this morning at 202-465-3080. It's 202-465-3080 for Monday morning, November 8th. And it's now almost halfway through the show. So if you do want to ask a question and it's after we go off the air today or if it's during the week, feel free to email us your question at foryourbenefit@nitpinc.com. That's nitpinc.com, because this show is put on by the National Institute of Transition Planning. So you can email us directly and we will get your question to the right person who can hopefully provide you a clear answer. Okay, so we've talked about the high deductible plans, Jane, and now let's go back to the traditional health plans, the standard option and the high option. Yep. Do you have a specific person who might be better suited for the standard option versus the high option? Let's take a young employee just starting out in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
that's
good
been
health,
the most popular,
no chronic illness.
That's probably the most common new member to standard option because it does have one of the lowest premiums. It does have an excellent the same network that apply to all of our plans. It has a $10 copay for primary care, pediatric, OBGYN, and geriatric specialist. You only pay $10 if you see one of those those categories for an office visit. If you need a specialist on standard option, it is a $25 copay, which is still fairly low.
That's good.
Young families are attracted to the Well Child Care, and this, again, applies to both high and standard option. But Well Child Care, the routine, you know, every year annual visits are paid at 100% in and out of network on
both
standard.
So no deductible on those.
Exactly.
Or copay.
Right. And that includes the vaccines for children. And some lab works that are required.
What about the inpatient part of having the baby? when you go into the hospital, is there any type of inpatient deductible or co-payment, co-insurance?
On standard option and high option, if you use preferred providers for both the obstetrician and the hospital, we pay 100% of maternity-related expenses.
Really can't go wrong there. So standard options should have a pretty good following.
Right, right.
And weren't you telling me earlier before we started the show that you're about 50-50 between the standard and the high option?
It's very close. Again, high option has always had the largest membership. But last year, actually, standard option went ahead slightly but it's
ahead.
Still very closely split.
That's interesting. So what about a mid-career, 40s, 50-year-old family? Maybe it's still a family with kids at home,
right.
Maybe not.
Right.
Would they still be someone who should look at standard option? Because that's the age you start getting heart disease and diabetes and all these other chronic illnesses might creep in. So would you still be safe with the standard option
plan? I think you would. The biggest difference between high and standard option is the prescription drug benefit. Standard option pays 50% of brand name drugs. Both options pay 30-day supply of generic drugs for $5, $15 for a 90-day supply of generic drugs through mail order. So the difference in your utilization of brand name drugs is probably the biggest factor to consider in choosing between high and standard option.
And for some people with chronic illnesses, that can be a big consideration because I have heard that prescription drugs can run hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
It can. On high option, we do pay 25% of brand name drugs up to a $150 maximum on your coinsurance at retail, $300 maximum on your coinsurance at mail order.
So even if it is a $1,200 a month prescription, you're still going to be limited only to pay out of pocket to those limits you just mentioned.
Correct. And we recently, within the last 2 or 3 years, added similar but slightly higher prescription maximums on standard option. When we first offered standard, there were no limits on the amount of the 50% benefit. But to help our members meet the catastrophic needs of these higher prescription drug expenses, at retail, you would only pay $200 maximum coinsurance for a 30-day supply on standard option. And at mail order, you'd pay $500 out-of-pocket maximum for brand-name drugs. But again, as you mentioned, some of the new specialty drugs and some of the most sophisticated, newer drugs can cost thousands of dollars.
Yes.
So we have limited your financial exposure on brand-name at both mail and retail on both high and standard option now, the maximums being slightly higher that you would pay on standard.
I think a lot of people are finding this to be true, not only with GEHA, but with other health plans, that they're really directing you to the mail order program and limiting what they're going to cover for pharmacy-filled prescriptions to just that one where you're going to try it out for a month or two, make sure it's the right dosage.
Correct.
And then it pushes you over to the mail order. And I think some people are afraid of that. So how difficult is it to fill a prescription through mail order?
It's very simple. You need to get your doctor, if it's a brand new medication, your best approach is to get two prescriptions from your doctor, one for a 30-day supply that you would fill at a retail pharmacy. Then once you know that that medication is meeting the needs, you should also at the same time get a 90-day supply that you could send to Medco mail order. It's a very simple process. Most physicians have Medco on speed dial.
I was going to say, because there's one prescription I take on a yearly basis, so my doctor just does it for me, and I don't even have to contact Medco.
Right. But if you want to submit the prescriptions, you should get two. But most physicians will fax the prescription for the mail order supply to Medco, and the turnaround time is phenomenal. If it's a brand new script, I think they ask you not to worry about it if it's 10 days. Most of them come much faster than that. If it's a refill on Medco and you can refill on their website, on our website, which has a link, you can call. It's literally a 2 or 3 day turnaround time.
I've almost had it come in 24 hours after I've made the request.
Very fast.
Plus, it will tell you a little history. If you are familiar with the internet and if you're comfortable with that, it's going to show you what your usage has been and when's the last time you filled it. So it gives you that information that you can kind of keep track of what you're doing and how often you're filling it and when's the next time it's due to be filled.
And it'll also tell you if there's a generic equivalent that you might want to ask your doctor about, or even an equivalent brand name that might be lower cost. Obviously, that decision to change a medication is only up to you and your physician. Mm-hmm. But Medco on their website gives you alternatives that you might want to discuss with the physician.
I think that's important because we're trying to be consumers and we're trying to compare and make sure we're getting what is best for us, both price-wise and for our health. So I think those things are important for people to be able to look at.
I agree.
Okay, so that's our mid-career family. The other thing that comes up both with young folks and mid-career and even older folks certainly is dental and vision. Does GEHA offer any dental and vision benefits through the standard or high option or even the high deductible option
right.
of the plans?
We do offer some dental under the all three medical plan options. The high option has the traditional scheduled benefit. We'll pay $22 for your twice a year cleanings, $21 for a filling, $22 for an extraction. But again, very limited coverage. Mm-hmm. Standard option and high deductible have a slightly different approach. They'll pay 50% of your twice a year cleanings, but still the schedule on fillings and extractions. But again, the dental coverage under both health plan, all three health plans, is very limited.
Right.
But
so again, you might consider a FedVip plan along with that.
Yes. And GEHA does offer a FedVip called Connection Dental Federal. We're amazed at the growth in that product the last few years. We've almost have as many dental members as we now have medical members.
Is that the one that you would sign up for through BeneFeds?
Correct.
So that's through the Federal right. Dental and Vision Insurance Program.
Yes, and it's the same open season. And again, it's an easy enrollment process.
So open season, by the way, everybody starts today, so get a jump on it.
Right.
Because you only have until December 13th. And I think that's, you know, we're creatures of procrastination, and so
absolutely
try to, you know, get on that early so that you can really take the time and look at things, because I think when we wait till the last minute, we do it in a rush and we're like, oh, forget it, we'll just keep what we had last year.
I agree. No, you have lots of choices, but you mm-hmm. do need to analyze them carefully and make sure that you've got the best plan for you.
Right.
On our Connection Dental Federal, again, it's a fast growing plan. We're thrilled with the membership increase. It is one of the highest calendar year maximums in the FedVip program.
What is that maximum? Because that is something unique to GEHA's plan on that, because some of them have a much lower limit on
right.
your expenses.
On our high option Connection Dental Federal or FedVip program, it's $4,000 per person.
Per person. So if you're in a self plus one, that's $4,000 for each one of you.
Correct.
Which should cover
correct.
At least two or three crowns or root canals.
Correct. Yes. And the other unique thing to GEHA's Connection Dental Federal plan is that we pay both in and out of network provider dentist at the same coinsurance. So you're not required to use a Connection Dental dentist.
Right, because unlike the medical profession, the dental profession seems like they don't have as many preferred providers, especially when they can get away with it in an area where a lot of people can pay their dental expenses out of pocket.
Yes. We've seen that change, though. We have been able to grow the network to over 40,000 dentists nationwide, and you can nominate your dentist to be in the network, and we'll approach them, say some of their patients are interested, and we're seeing good participation growth.
So some of them are deciding to switch over and become right. a network provider, which will save you even more money as the consumer.
Right.
Because then your co-pays or your out-of-pocket
correct.
Expenses are
now,
less.
I'm a claims person, so I always put these disclaimers
yes.
in here because I don't want you to call me later. If you do choose a non-network dentist, you do need to be aware that we're going to limit our benefit to the amount that we've negotiated with in-network dentist. That's a savings to you. It's a protection for you to why you should try to use dental network dentist if at all possible.
So as an example, let's say that my dentist charges $200 for a cleaning and checkup and all of that, and the part for if you had a network dentist might cover, let's say, $150.
Correct.
So I'd still get the $150, but I'd have to pay that extra $50
exactly.
out of pocket, which
exactly.
is still a lot better.
Sure,
than...
and many people don't want to change dentists, mm-hmm. so they take a look at what the expenses would be, and they choose to stay with their dentist. But again, we encourage you to nominate your dentist because we are having great success in growing our network.
And you can pay that out-of-pocket portion either out of a flexible spending account or if you have
correct.
A health care savings account or health reimbursement
yes.
account with a high deductible, you can do that.
Yes,
well.
You could.
Good. Okay, now we get to the folks who are either of retirement age or already retired who have Medicare, because Medicare comes into play at age, generally at age 65, although some younger folks have it with kidney disease and Lou Gehrig's disease and disabilities. But we're thinking in here, in general terms, mainly people 65 and older who are either still working in 65 and have their health insurance through their employer, or they're retired in 65 and have their health insurance through their retirement benefit. And there's a difference between those two situations, because if you're still working and you have health insurance through your employment, then even if you are enrolled in Medicare, then your federal health plan is still going to be your primary payer. Is that right?
That's correct. Or even if you're retired, but your spouse has active employment with health insurance and you're covered as a dependent on that plan would be primary over Medicare or your retired federal.
So if you're in that situation where your federal health plan is still going to be your primary insurance, then you'd probably just want to enroll in Medicare Part A, because Medicare Part B is going to charge you a premium. And so there's no need to pay the premium until after you retire, most likely. And I think GEHA is not going to get much benefit either way if Medicare is secondary payer at that point.
That's correct. So as long as you're active, then you want to enroll in Part A because there's no cost to you. Mm-hmm. But you might want to delay participation or enrollment in Part B because of the premium.
And Part A of Medicare covers what kind of expenses?
Covers in-hospital expenses.
So when you go to stay overnight for hip replacement, that's where you hand in your red, white, and blue
Correct.
Medicare card and
Correct.
Your GEHA card.
Correct.
And then Part B of Medicare covers what expenses?
It covers
generally?
Outpatient hospital expenses and all physician and other healthcare professional expenses.
Lab work, physical therapy,
exactly.
All those things. In Part C of Medicare, we're not going to cover today. That's a Medicare health plan, and you can
right.
go to Medicare.gov and learn about those. And Part D of Medicare is prescription benefits, which we might talk about if we have some time, because when we get into the standard option GEHA plan, you could maybe use a Part D plan to supplement that.
Yes, we encourage you to take a look at that. Again, most of our members with Medicare, but that is a changing demographic as well, are still enrolled in our high option. And that is excellent coverage between GEHA and Medicare. But if you do have, because the biggest difference in high and standard option is the prescription drug expense, you might want to consider standard option and join a Part D Medicare plan that does cover prescription drugs. It's important, very important, that you choose that plan carefully, because not all Part D plans cover all medications.
And they can change from year to year.
They can, so
you
really have to stay on top of that and make sure you're in the right Part D plan.
If you need help with that, Medicare.gov has really, I think, vastly improved their website and the ability to go in there and find
yes,
the best plan.
I agree.
It is better than if you had looked at it 2 or 3 years ago.
Yes, at the very beginning, I agree. It was not as what
not as user friendly. So
right, but we again, between Medicare and Part D and a GEHA, either high or standard option, you probably would be able to get most of your prescription drug expenses reimbursed.
Okay, here's the new thing. And this is the part that nobody knows much about yet, probably including you, because you haven't really experienced it yet. But your plan, GEHA, and I think one other of the national federal health plans, is offering a Medicare pilot program next year.
Correct.
Could you tell us a little bit about what that means?
Yes. It's my understanding that OPM asked plans to consider offering what we're calling a Part B pilot, because the trend is for new federal retirees to not enroll in Part B. And obviously, because of the nature that of the way federal plans coordinate with Medicare, that does have a significant financial impact on the federal program. So they've asked federal health plans, and GEHA has agreed to do so, to offer this pilot program starting in 2011 for high option members only. If you're a high option member or join a high option for 2011, GEHA will subsidize you $75 a month per self-coverage, $150 a month if yourself and spouse participate. If you are either already enrolled in Part B or enroll in Part B during Medicare's open enrollment and have Medicare Part B effective next July.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, there is a change in your Medicare medical benefits, we will still waive your deductible and coinsurance on your Part A expenses because you have to have A and B to participate in the pilot and you have to be retired, both member and spouse. Mm-hmm. But if you will continue to waive deductible on Part A expenses, but will no longer waive the deductible on Part B expenses, nor will you have the reduced coinsurance on your prescription drugs if you're in the pilot.
So if you're in the pilot and you look at your standard coverage for high option GEHA, you're still going to have those benefits. But where normally with high option, along with Medicare, you would have waived the deductible and the coinsurance,
right,
you're not going to have that benefit.
That's correct. It's the Part B deductible and the Part B 20% coinsurance that Part B members have to pay. Again, if you're not in the pilot and you have high option, we always waive those and you have really no out-of-pocket expenses. But if you participate in the pilot, in return for receiving this reimbursement to help you pay your Part B premium, you will no longer have the Part B coinsurance waived or Part B deductible.
I know what's going to happen because you hear this and you say, oh my goodness, they're no longer going to waive my coinsurance and my copayment, but that's only if you join the pilot.
Exactly.
If you stay in GEHA high option, you can still have all the benefits you have this year. You'll continue those next year.
No change at all. And again, you have to join this pilot.
Yeah, this is something that's not going to happen automatically.
It's not going to happen automatically. You have to join the pilot. You have to call us. We'll send you an application. You have to complete it and you have to. We will only do it when once we verify your Medicare eligibility.
Yeah, one way to kind of evaluate this is if you look towards the back of your health plan brochure, there's always going to be a couple of pages that say how we are if you have Medicare as primary
right.
insurance. I'm not sure what page that is on
it's
this
on,
year.
For the 2011, it's going to be on page 83 of the high-end standard option brochure.
And there you can see if you have Medicare as primary, that means you're not in the sub-option and you're retired. Those are the things that will get waived.
Correct.
But if you don't have a lot of medical expenses, if you're still in good health and you're saying, wow, I just need this coverage in case something happens,
correct,
but I don't want to pay a penalty for late enrollment in Medicare, mm-hmm, then I can join the sub option. GEHA will give me $75 a month
right.
towards paying for Part B, and I pay the rest, and then I can be in Part B and later down the road drop the sub option and go back to traditional coverage.
Yes, you can change. First of all, because it is a pilot,
it may not.
We know the future of it, but we are excited to be able to offer it. But again, you can change every open season if the pilot continues.
Right. I think it should expand is the way I see it, because I think it's going to encourage more people to join Medicare who might otherwise have foregone the benefit, and it's going to benefit you
right.
because it's going to help cover some of those expenses where Medicare is primary.
Correct.
So to me, it's
and again,
a win-win.
There's no question that the combination of Medicare and a federal plan is excellent coverage for members, and they should take advantage of both programs.
Now, one thing you said a minute ago, you said if you're this referencing the sub option, if you're retired and you have Medicare Part B, then the sub option would be something you can consider.
Yes.
And if you're married and both of you have Medicare Part B
and are retired,
then you'd get double the
$75. Yes, you'd get $150 a month towards your Part B premiums.
So what about the situation where, let's say the member's retired, Medicare's primary, they're over 65, but their spouse is only 61.
Mm-hmm. They would not be eligible for the pilot.
So neither one of them, they just couldn't join the pilot because it would have to apply to both.
Correct.
Husband and wife.
Correct.
Okay, so this would be mainly for someone who's either in self-only coverage or who's self and family where both husband and wife are over 65 and retired.
Correct.
That makes sense because that's going to be something else. I think questions will come up.
That's right.
With anything new, we have to understand how it works.
Yes, we're learning this as we go along.
As we go along.
But again, we're excited to offer the option for members that think it will meet their needs.
Yeah, and the other thing I think retirees with Medicare should consider is looking at the standard option plan. If you don't have a lot of prescription expenses, because even the standard option plan with Medicare is primary. If you're an A and B of Medicare and it's primary, you're retired, you still waive your deductible and your coinsurance, and the combination of the regular Part B premium with standard option is still less than the premium for the high option.
That's true. And that's why we have seen some high option members changing to standard option even though they have Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, with the exception of prescription drugs, the benefits for Medicare primary members are the same on high and standard option. The difference is the prescription drug coverage, and many Medicare members are high utilizers of especially brand name drugs. And that's where you just have to make an individual decision as will the cost that you're going to have increased by the standard option 50% coinsurance on prescription drugs. Is that offset by the difference in the premium? Or as we mentioned before, if you wanted to combine that with a Part D prescription drug plan.
Now, if you're a retiree with Medicare and you're in the high deductible plan.
Yes.
You don't waive deductible, obviously.
No, we don't. And if you have Medicare, you would not qualify for an HSA, a health savings account. But you could still join the high deductible health plan, and we would enroll you in what we call a health reimbursement account. You'd still get the contribution that you would if we were putting it into an HSA. And in fact, we fund that at the beginning of the year for Medicare members.
So do a lump sum into that account that you can use right away.
Yes, so you can use that faster. But unlike the HSA, if you leave, it does carry over year after year if you stay with GEHA. But if you leave GEHA, you forfeit whatever's left in your health reimbursement
because
account.
It was all contributed by the program. I wondered about that because I know I think the high deductible health plans are very good for employees who are looking for a nice tax shelter, who are in relatively good health, or even if not, like you said, the total expenses aren't going to be much more than you would have paid anyway.
Right.
But I never really related those to retirees with Medicare. I think the other options might be more. Yeah. And you should look at all three. But
I agree. We do have some Medicare members in the high deductible health plan with an HRA.
That maybe had started out with the HSA and kind of
migrated.
Well,
we have some that join it. But again, it's just what their individual needs are.
And the nice thing with any federal health plan, if it's not working for you this year, open season comes up. And that's something the rest of the country is looking forward to having this no pre-existing requirement. But we have that. We've had that in FEHB.
Yes. FEHB has been very blessed by that, to not have any pre-existing conditions on any federal plan.
Because people still ask about that. They'll say, well, I'm already diabetic, so I can't switch health plans. Mm-hmm. I say, sure, you can. You can switch any health plan you want. They have to take you even with your pre-existing condition.
Absolutely.
Whether they want you or not. But you want everybody.
Of course. Well, we have care management to help you handle those chronic diseases.
That's right. And you're going to be probably, not you individually, but your GEHA is going to be at every health plan open season health fair that's going to go on this
open
season.
We try. We'll probably cover 1,800 events this year across the country.
Wow.
We're very excited. It's an exciting time of year. As you know, GEHA, this is our practically the only thing we do.
That's right.
And we have claims adjusters. We obviously limit them because we want to continue to provide good service to our members even during open season. But we have former employees that come back and help us answer phones. They're experts at that. They did it for many years. This is a nice supplemental job for them. They also help us cover some of the healthcare events across the country.
Go out and talk to the people out in the trenches.
Yes, absolutely.
I've been getting questions lately from retirees or employees who planning to retire overseas. Mm-hmm. And GEHA is one of the plans you can use, whether you live in the U.S. or overseas.
Use it worldwide, either if you are a resident overseas at some military or State Department location. But even if you're traveling overseas, you can use GEHA worldwide.
That's good
we
everywhere.
Also, because we don't have PPO networks overseas, we don't want to penalize our members because they can't choose a PPO provider. So we, on all three health plans, we pay the PPO rate for expenses that you incur overseas, even though it's not a preferred provider.
So it's one of the ones you could choose if you were going to live or be spending some substantial time overseas.
Yes.
And it's also a good one for someone who even within the U.S. lives in two different locations. You know, once you're retired, you're not stuck to stay right in the place where you work. So you could use it in Florida, in Kansas, or wherever.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's good nationwide.
And now with dependents up until age 26, that's probably going to increase in the factors that you need to consider.
Because
you might have a child that's married and living
in a different state. And it covers them,
which
a lot of people were surprised by. But that was part of the rules that everybody has to abide by with this new reform.
Exactly.
So whether they live with you, whether they're married, now you can't cover their children and their spouse, but you can cover that child of yours.
Right.
Interesting.
But you can they cover them even if they have their own health insurance. Or even if they are covered by their spouse's health insurance.
Would they have both then? One would be primary, one would be secondary.
Yes. Obviously, if they're employed and have their own health care coverage, the federal plan would be secondary to that. But if they're covered by their spouse, the probably be secondary as well because it's the whoever's insured them longer as a dependent.
Mm. Oh, so there's a different way of determining.
Yes.
It's going to be a new learning experience.
Yes. Yes. Another important change, and again, this is for all plans. Stepchildren, the eligibility has changed. You used to have a parent-child relationship and live. The stepchild had to live with the federal employee to be covered. That's no longer the case.
So you can even cover your stepchildren who live with the other parent.
Correct.
Huh. Well, this is the question. You may not know this yet, but I wondered about this. If you're a surviving child, let's say your parent's deceased, and your survivor benefit's going to end when you're 22, but now this children can be covered till they're 26, but they're not getting a survivor benefit. I wonder if they'll still be covered, or will they lose their health insurance if their parent's no longer around?
Not had that question.
Uh-huh. That's going to be one that has to be answered at some point.
I'll be glad to research it.
Yeah, that's my own little quirky question that I had about that, because I was thinking that through, thinking, I wonder what would happen in that case, because they haven't changed the age limit for the children's survivor benefit. So maybe you and I can talk later and get an answer to that, if there is one yet. Maybe that's something that hasn't been tested.
My guess would be if they're no longer eligible for the survivor benefit, they might not be able to be extended. But I would not want to make that the definitive answer without researching it.
Yeah, leave it to me to find a quirky question to ask.
That's fine. They'll come up.
They're going to come up one way or the other. Well, anything else you want employees to know about this open season, different places they can go to check out? Give us that website again for GEHA.
GEHA.com. You can call our open season number as well, 800-821-6136.
Tell us that number one more time.
800-821-6136. Again, the website is an excellent resource. We'll be at 1800 health fairs. Look forward to meeting everyone there. But it's an exciting time. We think it's unique that GEHA is one of the original FEHB plans, been in the program since the very beginning.
1960,
but yet we're still one of the fastest growing plans on the, especially our standard option.
Yeah, so you offer standard option, high option, and high deductible health
plan. And then two options under FedVIP, Connection Dental Federal, high and standard option on dental.
And the difference between the standard and the high option dental plan, is that mostly in the
calendar
rate?
Year maximum is a big difference. It's $1,200 calendar year on standard option, and the percentages that we pay are higher on standard on high option as well. We only pay 55% for things like fillings, extractions on standard option.
Right. So the high option is going to give you a more dollar benefit, but if you don't need it, then the standard option might be just
And the standard option FedVIP plan did not have a premium increase for 2011.
That's also good to know.
Yes, it
is. No premium. We always like that. No premium increase or
very
limited.
One more thing.
Sure.
All members in all three health plans and the two dental options also are covered by vision coverage through a new vendor this year, iMed, at no additional premiums to pay.
So that's through which plan?
It's on all three medical plans and two dental plans. We give you free vision coverage at no additional premium.
Oh, that's good. So that way when I go to get my new glasses or my contact lens or my eye exam, I've got some coverage without signing up for a separate vision plan.
Right. Now, it's a $5 copay for your eye exam. On the other programs except high deductible, it's a discount program. We're not going to pay a benefit, but you'll get a significant discount.
And I find that's true with most of the vision plans. They're not really health insurance. They're more of a discount program, which is going to save you sometimes hundreds of dollars
on
your vision care.
And the new vendor, iMed, has 5 of the 6 top retailers for vision products, Target, Sears, LensCrafters, all of the big ones.
Boy, we are out of time, Jane, but thank you so much for coming and being here with us today. And we learned so much and look forward to seeing you at the health fairs. Thanks again.
Thanks for the invitation.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.